The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voice.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Friday, 11th day of May, 2018. Notice, Mikey, I didn't screw with the date today just to see if you were paying attention. I've been checking, and you haven't been paying attention. I've intentionally given wrong dates and wrong years. And you just sit there, stoic, bearded, my bearded one. Chris Hinckley is also with us. Darren McNellis is in studio with us. And he's going to be taking the evening slot here on RBN. Laurie Anderson has graciously filled in for Tom Lacovara's old spot. By the way, before I forget, a word to Aaron in Colorado. You were right. Chris sat in for me yesterday, so I didn't have the opportunity to say this on air. But on Wednesday's program, when he called in, he was absolutely right. And Tom Lacovara has been playing a series with Ken O'Keefe, ex-Marine, and he's got a lot of stories to tell. But he did like this 8-hour conversation with him, and he's been playing it on air. And it's not necessarily in an interviewer subject matter guest. Okay, so it wasn't kept tight, so it kind of ranges here, far and abroad, and here, hither, and yon. So, and the problem was that it was not edited, and we can't edit it in the format that it's in. So there was a few bad words that were in there. And Aaron, I just wanted to tell you, you were right, and both Steve Elkins and I, what we were doing is we were equating that with the show that we did Monday. And the Jeff Daniels speech at the college. Okay, so Aaron, my apologies, and I did call Aaron the other day and talked to him personally, and he didn't even believe it was me on the phone. You know, he was talking about John Stadtmiller in third party, and I had to stop him, and I said, "Well, do you know who you're talking to?" "Well, no, you're not he. You don't sound like him." Well, I got off the speakerphone, which I always admonish people calling into the show, but I called him and I told him, I said, you know, you were right, and I apologize. So when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. When I'm right, try to tell me I'm wrong. At any rate, Dr. Kelly, is this New Orleans, California, or is this Northern California? Northern California. Hello, Dr. Kelly.
California, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
And having the great variety of hosts and guests that you do, and all of the great details that you're covering, and I apologize. I was just eating some organic ice cream, and I'm still thawing out. And I would love to either be able to co-host a show or get something going where we can have a grand jury reawakening in our western states.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, severely lacking, and we've got 58 counties in California, 17 in Nevada, and I think we need to start following a process like you do in Texas, where if there's an issue that is obviously, you know, visibly, frankly criminal, that it goes directly to the criminal grand jury for, you know, indictment, accusation, and we can see people leaving like the city of Bell did in waist chains and handcuffs when they helped themselves to the public funds.
Well, and what's fascinating is that the grand jury was one of the checks and balances that was available to the private citizen to get justice, that there was a process that evidence was presented. And if the judge that was overseeing the proceedings figured there was enough for an indictment, let all sides speak, let's present the evidence, and either formal charges will go ahead or, you know, get this guy out of here, he doesn't belong here. That was the whole idea, intent behind a grand jury. But now it's been hijacked, Dr. Kelly, it's been hijacked by the prosecution.
Yeah, I can see the places where it hasn't worked, but I still do have faith in the system, having served on it at the county level, at the civil level in Nevada County for 3 years, from 2012 to 2015, and it just cracks me up. The Penal Code 911 is the oath of the grand juror in California.
Well, I'm sure that's just an accident, right?
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I've told the story on air. Dr. Kelly, I don't know if you're familiar. I know Chris Hinckley is. Have you ever heard of Hoppy Heidelberg?
The name rings a bell,
okay.
But...
He was on the federal grand jury for the Oklahoma City bombing. And what happened during that, he got a firsthand experience on federal grand juries. And what they were doing is they were getting ready to prefer charges against Timmy McVeigh and the Nichols brothers and the whole rigmarole. Well, what he quickly discovered during this grand jury proceeding is that the federal prosecutors had all the witnesses laid out. They were being brought in, the stories being told in front of the judge, and that was going to be it. They were literally grooming that grand jury for indictment without allowing anybody else to bring any other evidence. Now, certainly the Nichols brothers or Tim and McVeigh had absolutely no witnesses or any input into that grand jury thing because they were the accused and they were going to be gotten whether we did it the right way or not. But Hoppy Heidelberg, Dr. Kelly, was on that federal grand jury, and he was out passing out the citizen's rule book outside that courthouse, and the feds found out about it, and they weren't happy about it. As he was a grand jury, a juror sitting on this grand jury, he started to ask questions. Well, I understand that there were certain other circumstances. Can we bring witnesses in for that? And the federal prosecutors looked him square in his face and said, no, we got this under control. He said, that's not what a grand jury is supposed to be about. Well, up to and including a friendly FBI agent making a call to his house, knocking on his front door, and he told him, he said, look, Hoppy, I hate to tell you this. He said, but you got to stop what you're doing. And he said, why? He said, because they will kill you. They have plans to kill you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And I met Hoppy after that incident happened, and I met him, shook his hand, and I said, you got a lot of guts. I said, and Hoppy, you done stepped in it now. I mean, now you're seeing from the end. He didn't know Shinola to that point in time. He didn't understand what we have been talking about for a number of years. This man got the firsthand knowledge and literally his life threatened for trying to do the right thing. So, yeah, our grand juries, do we need to take that back? You betcha, Dr. Kelly. You betcha.
Yeah, we need a grand jury reawakening. And I just love when people call in, like, is that Chris Cave in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
There's a gentleman named Jeff in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have some sort of get-together and a barbecue up here and get things figured out. And, you know, I'm willing to ask for sponsorship and maybe get a couple of, you know, supporting hosts or guest hosts and see if we can't get something together.
Well, I'll tell you.
I think it's really time.
All right. Well, do me a favor, Dr. Kelly. Mike, if you would, take her down, get her contact information. You and I will talk.
And thank you much, and have a great weekend, everybody.
All righty. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Yeah, I don't think we're in short supply of people that want to do the right thing. They just don't know where to go to get it done.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that want to organize. What I've noticed is we're really bad at organizing. really bad at organizing. And whenever, say, something politically happens in this country, like the Tea Party, well, that became a Sarah Palin Tea Party. That's not what it was intended. That's not how it started out. It was actually Ron Paul's Tea Party that he started. And what was he talking about? Law, Constitution. He knew about the funny money that we needed to do away with. He knew all of these things. So rather than come in and say, you know what, we're going to support Ron Paul, they just come in and stole his stuff, stole the name, and created this, was it an arm of the Republican Party? I don't even know anymore. But the Republicans were sure there to walk in and try to take control of that. Now,
it kind of reminds me of some of the films I've seen, some of these action films where things reach a critical point and in walks the FBI to take control over it. And I think any movement, and this is where the enemy has always had the upper hand, it's master of infiltration. And as soon as anything reaches a critical point, or perhaps before it, they will get in there, and a lot of times it will veer off out of course. And you even look at Russia, before the turn of the revolution back in Russia, you had a lot of disgruntled veterans after, you know, the loss of the war, World War One, and the Lenin and bring in Trotsky, who were funded by the Germans through American banks and given leeway to walk right in there, you know, and take hold of what, to give advice for those who were being oppressed, and then direct them.
When you say the Germans, you mean the German bankers were funding it?
Well, Germany did give it, it allowed Lenin to get a train through and fund, the German bankers as well did fund Lenin to start a revolution. And that's just the thing, you always have to, Anthony C. Sutton wrote the great book, it's a great trilogy actually.
Yes, exactly.
He wrote the, I'm trying to think.
Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler.
Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Rise of FDR, and Wall Street and the Bolsheviks.
Yep.
And then if you couple that book with the Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn, I'm butchering his name.
Solzhenitsyn.
Yes.
Yes.
You can see history never changes. The patterns of history have always remained the same, and human behavior will always remain the same. And I think one of the best ways to get a grasp of it is not to look into a glorious past, because sometimes it never fully existed, you could say, but to look at it to see where the faults lied and where the patterns emerge. So then when you go into the future, you will see these things popping back up again and again. I'm all for the American Revolution of that happened, but that was by a minority of people, you know? And
yeah, try 3%.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And a lot of them were educated class. And that's where it has to start, is with individual liberation of yourself first, because truth is a weapon that you first use on yourself. Because I think when you find truth, you end up stabbing yourself with it first, because it really kills your ego to realize that. And that's another reason why I left the job yesterday, is because it's a burden. You walk around with an individual burden. You know, you walk around with this weight on your shoulders. And that's one of the main reasons why I felt the need to come out now. Because if I didn't do it, I'll wake up in a future very similar to the Nazi Germany and very similar to Soviet Russia. And I will, as in the Gulag Archipelago, he really goes into an in-depth view of himself first and what he did to bring in the monster that was the Soviet Revolution. He first looked at himself and blamed himself first to take control. And that book was one of that trilogy was one of the books that helped bring down the Soviet Union, show the West what was really going on.
Chris, did you yourself watch the video series? Who was the author of that? Ross, I think his name was. Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did watch it?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
Well, actually, before I went on that, can I say a couple other things?
Sure, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
To your point, Darren, and this all, I mean, it's all kind of the same conversation. I mean, you're talking about COINTELPRO, basically, and Trevor Aronson is a voice that I point to a lot. His TED Talk, how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. You know, the FBI cooks up terrorist plots with Hollywood endings, as he says. Usually, they add, you know, they cook up the plot, just add Manchurian Patsy here, basically. The New York Times headline says it all, terrorist plots hatched by the FBI. And so, yeah, that is the kind of common theme of history. It's interesting. Like you said, you know, history would be something. I think Tolstoy is attributed with the quote, history would be something extraordinary if only it were true. And, you know, speaking of the Tea Party, I think it was the Rand Corporation's Tea Party most recently when John Arquilla and David Ronfeld wrote The Advent of Net War, the Rand Corporation monograph, where they talked about these headless groups that would be assembling on the internet. And I think it's ironic because to kind of, I guess, bridge what you guys are both talking about, like you're saying, John, the organic patriot people, if you will, not the PatCon, COINTELPRO faction, but the real people who want to do something good have difficulty organizing. And then, you know, it seems to take that infiltration that you're talking about, Darren, to get people organized. Anyway, that's weird. But my question, though, before we get too far away, a lot of this is overwhelming. William Casey really did say, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. Barbara Honegger attested to that. She was an eyewitness. But I was thinking of the stories, Reuters, 2 days ago, Israel strikes Iranian targets in Syria after rocket fire, which is a bogus story. And Fox News today, America must respond to Iran's attack on Israel to prevent a regional war.
And it's what it is, Chris, it's a script that they're told to follow, and that's exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it unquestioningly.
Exactly.
They're not even asking. They're not doing their job as journalists. It used to be the who, what, where, when, and how. Now it's just they serve them their script, put it on a teleprompter. Here, read this or you're going to lose your job.
Yeah. And so with all of that in mind, my question, Darren, you did that TED Talk back in 2014, right?
I did. I didn't realize people saw that.
So my question, especially with all of this in, I'm actually going somewhere with this, believe it or not. It's not just word salad, I promise. But so with all of this stuff in mind, you know, all of it really, circling back around to the subject matter you talked about, and that sort of cognitive overload, you know, again, speaking to the element that is fomenting a lot of this, they're also fomenting cognitive overload. I mean, we have also the social media aspect of it. Sean Parker's admission last year at the Axios interview, and, you know, all of the other stuff that goes along, the remarks of Chamath Palihapitiya and all of those guys saying it's harmful, it's, you know, Jaron Lanier's latest TED Talk, same thing. But they're engineering that cognitive overload is what I'm saying. And so as it sort of pertains to this subject matter and the control and manipulation of society, do you have some thoughts, Darren, on, like, what the defense is against that?
I have a thing I used to think about quite a lot that actually has a lot of hope in it. Because I think the information, I think when you learn so much about the system, it brings a lot of despair that there's so much going on. But the fact that there has been so many barriers and put in place for you not to learn the truth is a miracle that you're able to grasp some aspect of truth and escape out of that control system, at least mentally.
Do me a favor. Hold that thought, Darren. We'll get around to the miracle after this break. Wayne, Dave, your callers are showing up on my screen. Chris Hinckley has been kind enough to join us today in studio with us, Darren McNellis, and we'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
No one can be said.
This ain't no Shangri-La. I don't know that we ever were, but we were damn close to it. Chris Hinckley and Darren McNullis joining me on air today. And go ahead and finish your point, Darren, here about the miracle here.
Yeah, I think there's something must be very special about the human beings, that no matter how much concrete is placed on the minds of men, that a flower can still come out of it with intact. And I think with everything that goes on throughout history, and especially today because the indoctrination and technology is so powerful now, people still bear it through. So there's some, and that's at the end of the day, that gives me, regardless of your religion, I think when you look at that miracle in itself, there must be something very deep in the human psyche that the opposition is afraid of. And that, I think, for me, is one of I don't know if I'm fully answering your question, Chris, but I maybe philosophically I might be. I think that's what gets me through it, to understand that there's a part of me that's able to break through. Something higher than myself, maybe something I'm not consciously aware of, that I can sense that's there, that's able to help me discern what's truthful. And this is it. Truth for me is a neutral thing. Truth. Yeah, I don't pronounce my THs. We don't pronounce THs in Ireland. But truth for me is a sword, and it's very neutral. it cuts through everything, and it's a feeling. It's not something logically. You logically register after the fact. When you hear something truthful, it will do two things. You'll be triggered by it because it's something you highly disagree with, and you're afraid that it would be real. And it also then liberates you at the same time. So it's a feeling you have first that I think is where it's at. I hope that answers it in some way, Chris.
I think so. And to me, that's more of an existential answer. I think you sort of answered it, too, in the TED Talk. And if we could, Mr. Stadmiller, we could play. I think we have a clip cued of the brilliance that is Darren McNellis from his TED Talk.
I'm sorry. Did my dead father just walk in the door? You calling me Mr. Stadmiller? Well, how long is the clip?
Oh,
20 seconds.
I'm going to make a bit of a disclaimer about this TED Talk. I actually wrote the speech that day, so people, it looks like I'm a swan, really. I look graceful on top, but underneath that, I was panicking.
it's brilliant, though. And what I'm getting at here is this excerpt that we'll play, man. It's, you know, it's prophetic, basically, when you think about all of the things that have happened, even just in the last few weeks and months. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Go ahead, Mr. Bordop.
Hold on 1 second. You know what? I just noticed there was a picture of this on the screen. I'm looking at it in the control room. And you look a lot like the guy from Simply Red in that.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, you do. Okay, go ahead and play the clip, Mike.
Any idea at all is that quiet time, we're losing it. We're losing our time. We're losing our time to technology. Time is the only commodity we really have. And I know a few speakers have touched on that already today. But it really is your only commodity. Because if you don't take back your attention, technology will take it, and it'll take your time as well. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have a great night, and thank you.
Where was this at?
That was in Ireland.
Really?
Jeez, I sound like a young lad there. That was 4 years ago. I've matured a little bit, I think, since then. Yeah.
Wow.
I can't believe you pulled that out of the woodwork. There's some magicians in here anyway. I'll blame Mike for that one there, I suppose.
Well, and Chris, thank you for bringing this out, because you know what? I wasn't aware of this. You know, I've got the guy in studio. He's a humble human being. He's not a braggadocious type. He's more of a thinker. But he didn't tell me anything about this. So I appreciate you bringing that out.
Yeah, it's a good talk, and I think that's a very salient point, especially again in light of recent weeks and months. I mean, that's what the Sean Parkers and Chamath Palihapitiyas and all these guys are saying. They're saying the same thing now. I mean, you have the unimpeachable witness of the tech leadership and the VC capital, the venture capital leadership saying what Darren said.
All right, we're coming up on a break here, and we've got loaded lines. We will get to all your calls. I'm asking everybody just to hang on. Appreciate you joining us on this Friday edition of the National Intel Report. And Chris Hinckley is here, and also future talk star Darren McNellis. We'll take the break here. And how much time I got? 30 seconds? So I got to tread water or do a filler? Can I sing? Can you sing?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Okay, well, you got 20 seconds to decide. And if you stall around on it long enough, we'll go to break.
I'll say a quick quote. It's from the song Wild Rover. I was a Wild Rover for many a year. I spent all my money on whiskey and beer. And now I return with gold in dress. And I'll never be a Wild Rover no more. I think I butchered that last part there.
Well, that's okay.
It's a good song. Check it out. Wild Rover.
And what did you think of Get Your Hands in the Air?
I liked it. Yeah.
That's the American spirit embodied, and also the guilt and the corruption of human beings as well. All right. Okay, John, Roxanne, David, Dave, Wayne, all of you guys, everybody stay tuned. We'll take the bottom of the hour break. We'll skip the last break of the final segment of this program. So we'll have about 26 minutes uninterrupted. So we'll get to everybody. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So it started out for God knows.
You know that guy's been dead a year now, almost. Tom Petty. Shame. John in Austin, this may be a voice, Darren, that you recognize. Hello, John. How you doing?
And now I'm returning with gold in great store, and I never will play the Wild Rover no more. I think that's the line you were looking for, Darren.
That was it indeed, sir.
Am I missing something here, or did you guys used to be neighbors or something?
Well, we could have been. Where are you from, Darren?
A place called Offaly.
Offaly, I've heard of it.
It's awfully boring there, I tell you. That's the joke.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, dear.
And where are you from?
I used...
What part? Scotland?
Well, I'm from Falkirk in Scotland, but my mother is from Lurgan in County Armagh, and I actually spent some time living there.
Oh, yeah?
But seeing as how John's got a few callers lined up, I've got two jokes and a very quick song for you. Because last time I was speaking to you, John, the guy following me wanted me to sing a song. All right? So here's my first one. There's a guy sitting in Dublin, and his phone rings, and he picks up the phone, and he says, "Hello!" And the voice on the other end says, "Hello, is that Dublin 2222? The guy says, "Nah, this is Dublin 2222. And the fella says, "I'm sorry, I have the wrong number." "That's all right, sure. The phone was ringing anyway."
Nice.
Separated by a common language.
How's your Gaelic? How's your Osgaeliga?
Oh, good, almighty. No. In fact, John brought that subject up last time we spoke, but we haven't got time for that just now. Paddy and Murphy are working on a building site, and Paddy says to Murphy, I'm going to have the day off, I'm going to pretend I'm mad, and he climbs up the rafters, hangs upside down and starts shouting, I'm a light bulb, I'm a light bulb. And Murphy watches in amazement as the foreman shouts, Paddy, you're mad, go home. So Paddy leaves the building site, and Murphy starts packing his kit up to leave as well, and the foreman says, where the hell are you going? He says, well, I can't work in the friggin' dark, can I?
Oh, boy.
All right, here we go. Last one. Our wee dog is 6 years old and he's smart as any damn kid. But if you mention the VET, he damn near flips his lid. Words like SHOT shot or WORM worm. These are words that'll make him SQUIRM squirm. OSQUARANTIN, he starts today because he bit the VET and then he ran away. He caused me and my wife to have a big fight and then both of them bit me. And that is why I'm going to get a D-I-V-O-R-C.
John, Scottish John, thank you so much. I appreciate your call.
Thank you very much. I'm leaving the building. Thank you very much. Brand new Cadillac, baby.
All righty, my friend. Boy, this is going to be interesting. I can see a day where John and Darren and myself, we get together and my...
I hope I'm there.
Have to be a few whiskeys involved.
I hope I'm there.
Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John. That's a real hard act to follow there. So
I'm telling you. Thick with broke.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, so I don't have any songs like that. But wanted to just bring up a couple things. If we want to understand the current state of the media, I think all people have to do is look at the Communist Rules for Revolution, and you'll see where the media's prime job is to keep people involved with sports, sex, lifestyle, race issues, and all that, just to keep us constantly distracted and all that. So
and divided.
Absolutely. And all those do that, too, especially with race. But that's their job, and you can see where they do quite a good job of it. But for Darren, my question is this. In our country, for the past couple decades especially, there's been a lot of demonization of white males, and in some cases the white race in general, especially recently in college campuses and all that. Have you seen something similar in Ireland or Europe in general where you see this ongoing demonization as the immigration tends to tilt the percentages a different way?
That's a very good question, and I actually got experience of that coming here. Europe, it's starting to get there. But in Ireland, I don't think that'll ever play. So I actually met a bunch of people in Georgia this year, and they were talking about this white privilege, you call it. And, you know, I've heard about it, but I wanted to hear from the horse's mouth, as we say, what this was. So what we did, I just asked about it, and they told me, obviously, it's people like, she pointed at me and said, white male. And I said, well, that's a bit impossible for an Irishman to comprehend because, Ireland has been repressed for 800 years by England. And as far as I can remember, English people look exactly like me. We have the exact same skin tone. There was no white privilege there in Ireland. So something like that was nearly foreign to me. But I've seen it when I come into this country. I've seen that label and that weapon being used on people, and for me, obviously, because I'm from Ireland and I understand the history of Ireland, I can combat that when they say that, because a lot of them don't know Irish history. If they do, it's a very vague one, but it's brutal. And sure, we were the exact same colour as the British, but the only difference was we were from a different country. We didn't like the yoke of imperialism being put around us. And yes, you can throw in Catholic president, but even before that, when both countries were Catholic, before it was changed, it was still the exact same repression. So it's an idea that I think is exists in America that people can fall prey to a certain extent. Colonialism, if you wanted to say colonialism, that's fine. That I can understand your perspective, but yeah. You know, totalitarianism doesn't care what color you are. And I think
where I'm going with this is that in America we see the birth rate death ratios are really changing our dynamic as far as the percentages of different races. And I was just wondering, with the Muslim incoming immigration into Europe and England in general, you know, is there an undercurrent of concern where there could be some issues coming up down the road, whether it be a clash of cultures? And we see something, you know, playing out right now in South Africa to that effect, where I think it kind of snuck up on whites down there, and before they knew it, you know, they were a minority and they were under the rule of a very vicious style government. So I was kind of curious if that undercurrent was there or not.
It is. Ireland has a unique kind of place when it came to immigration from other countries. When the Normans invaded Ireland after a few generations, the British actually called them, they're more Irish than the Irish themselves, because Ireland had amalgamated everyone who came into the country. They end up accepting their cultures and accepting our value. Now, there's two ways that you can play it. The class warfare system, and I understand people in America, they're trying to hold on to their values and hold on to their culture and pointing at the other person across the street who might be a different colour, a different religion, and kind of criticising them for staying in that. But I think one strategy is to welcome them in with open arms, to educate them in the culture of America, not to welcome in with open arms and give them, you know, a free rein of tax money and all this other stuff that they're doing, especially in England. It's a free rein. People go over there for the social welfare.
Yeah.
But to welcome them in, you could say, the American way, or to, you know, educate them not how to be tolerant, but you're in America and you need to embrace what America means.
Well, I did a cruder assessment of this, and my take on this one, when Wayne was blacks versus white, a white neighborhood, a black family moves in. Well, and it wasn't about, you know, if they kept their windows open during dinner time and they're frying their chicken. You know, it wasn't about that at all. What scared the hell out of the white people was the politics that the blacks brought with them, which one was of liberalism or dependency on the government. That was the unspoken word in this country. To this day, they will not even talk about. It's been boiled down to equality. That, we're not equal with you. Well, okay, but here's the game that's being played for a long time, and nobody ever said that you know, this is a club and you're not included. The only people that are keeping you out of this club is yourself,
yeah,
and your achievement. You're using it more as a crutch and an excuse rather than saying, hey, I'm here, I was born America, American, let's get on with this. And one other point, and Wayne, thank you for your call. I do greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And how I addressed this earlier to you, Darren, was about the Irish and the British. You know, it was presented to the American people about the Catholics and the Protestant. That was the big thing. That wasn't it at all. It was about freedom and liberty, and as you put it, not being under the yoke of the imperialism.
Yeah.
That's what was at the heart of this, but that's never how it was portrayed. It was portrayed as the ideological differences between Protestants and Catholics. What?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, total garbage.
Well, when the Irish came to America, unfortunately, they were seen as the lowest of the low, even lower than African-Americans are at the same par. And you'll find that... My name is Darren, okay? I meet a lot of... Darren's not a common name I see among white Americans. I don't really see it. It's a Gaelic name. It means oak tree. You know, I've always had a lot of respect for African-Americans, because Ireland was on the same par as them. The only difference was Ireland, after a generation, could lose their Irishness.
Mm-hmm.
They could hide it. They could hide their accent. They could adopt into the system at that time. While, obviously, at that time, for African Americans, it wasn't so easy. You know, it was more noticeable, obviously.
But there was a slight difference to this. Here, they have been taught to hang on to their African heritage. This is why you hear the African American. you know, that hyphenated, that somehow that, yeah, you're American, but, you know, it's your African descent. And, you know, to be honest with you, you look through the history of Africa, it's not one of innovative thinkers or great builders or ones that accomplished a lot. But this hyphenated, being a hyphenated American, as setting yourself in a class. And what we've been arguing is the whole thing against the class warfare to begin with.
Yeah.
And they're desperately trying to cleave to that. And that is a mistake.
Well, I've always been more of a fan, you could say, of between, let's say, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Malcolm X at least preached independence and individual independence. And I've always resonated that. And, you know, Malcolm X is highly revered in Ireland, and especially up in Northern Ireland, for by any means necessary, you know, that kind of still search and fight for freedom. And I think I thought about this recently as I was travelling through America. The difference was Irish people, when they came here, even though they were under the British yoke, they had an ideal to still hold on to. We had a country, we had a nationhood, we had a language that was still there. We could hold on to something even if we were so far away from it. Africa is a continent. It's not a country,
yeah.
You know, and I can completely understand African Americans. They don't know, obviously, what part of Africa they came from. You know, it's taken away from them. So there's a loss there, I can understand. Ireland, the Irish people were at least able to rally around an idea,
right,
of a nationhood, that one day we'll be free and one day we'll can return home. But with the African Americans, you know, they lost their language, they lost their religion, and after the first or second generation, they didn't know, they were like a lost, I see them like a lost tribe, you could say.
Well, and Malcolm X, you know, his dealings with Islam and the religion of Islam, if you will, what he did toward the end before he was murdered, he came across the answer. He said, look, he said, this isn't about separating things. This is about being more inclusive and listening to each other. And that was not on the agenda.
Yeah.
You know, Malcolm X, in my estimation, woke up, and that was what pretty much spelled out why he had to be killed.
There's a great book you should read. It's people are more interested in Malcolm X. It's a new enough book. It's called Malcolm X, A Life of Reinvention, I think. But it goes more deeply into that, the stuff that his biography didn't cover. And you're completely right. Near the end of his life, he really started to wake up to what was really going on. The one thing that he wanted to do was bring the United States to court for human rights, not civil rights. It's a different matter.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of them that end up getting, you know, he end up getting shot for it. And you'll see that throughout history. People who really do preach the truth end up knocking both sides, those who do the thought they're represented and those who they're trying to repress. So.
Dave, Chris, you still there? I'm sorry? Mike? Oh, we lost him? Okay. Dave?
No, he's back.
He's back. Oh, there he is.
Sorry about that.
I thought those were my own thoughts in my head I was hearing. Dave in Nevada. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on a few things there. I've been to Ireland, and I spent some time there, and I thought it was a beautiful country. And I thought that, and I come from a small country as well, from the Far East. I'm not going to say what country it is, but what I found is that it's much easier for a smaller country to kind of maintain its homogeneity or its unity than it is for a larger country like the United States, which is extremely multicultural and multi-religious. I think in order to avoid the problems or what's problematic is that the basis of getting things back in this particular country, because it is so diluted, is to simply make friends with people. Because if you can't do that, then we're not going to get anywhere in this country, period. And you don't even have to get to the point of talking about the Constitution. Because most people, I personally don't believe that we're not even at that point yet. So if someone wanted to comment on that,
well, I think you do hit a strong point. I think starting off with the similarities that exist for different people from different backgrounds is always a good place to start. Like with the Gaelic language, there's actually a lot of similarity between Gaelic and Urdu, which is the language of Pakistan, which raises a lot of kind of questions of the origin. Gaelic is the oldest Indo-European language, and it came from somewhere in the Middle East, or at least around that area. And I always starting with the similarities is always a good place to at least build a bridge that we're not the enemy. We're not the enemy. And we can actually build a bridge of communication and start dialogue. I think that's one of the most important things we can do. So you hit the nail on the head.
But here in this country, and thank you for your call, Dave. I appreciate it. In this country, rather than what's emphasized is not the similarities, it's the dissimilarities. And there, you know, you go back to a point, I want to go back to a point you made earlier about human nature. I've always made the observations that when the Founding Fathers penned the documents for the throwing out, the King of England and starting our own country, that, you know, they did it by quill pens and inkwells. They did their reading at night by way of candle wax and oil lamps. But the one thing that has not changed, it's been the human condition. You know, that we are still human beings. And, you know, everybody's looking for this technological advancement that somehow is going to pull humanity out of the sewer of the. And that's, you know, to do that, it has always amazed me, because human nature, that has been the one constant throughout our history, is human nature itself. And that's something you can't escape from. It's something that you are. And it's always fascinated me. We're running out of time here. David in Arizona. Hello, David.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hi.
John McCain said he didn't want Trump at his funeral. And I hate to tell you this, John. I know it's going to hurt you really bad. Call McCain's office, and they don't want you and me there either.
Off. You mean the deplorables? They don't want me at John McCain's funeral? Well, can I?
I know you're hurt.
Well,
I
don't have a whole lot of money, but can I send flowers? Because I'll make the rounds at the flower shops here in Austin and find the 5-day-old roses to send him.
Well, a bunch of us Vietnam vets are going to get together after the service and surround it. So when you want to go relieve yourself on his grave, the cops can't get to you. But anyway,
yeah.
But listening to your guest, your new radio host today, I think he's going to have a great show, and I guarantee you, I'm going to be listening.
Okay. Well, that's why he's here. He's for the introduction.
And think of this, Darren. England may be in charge now, but at one time, Ireland ruled the British Isles.
That's very true.
And one of these days, when the world is right, they will do it again.
Oh. Do you need new glasses, or do you just not want to pay attention to me today? People think I hate my board up. I love Mikey. All right. David, thanks for your call.
I think
what will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that?
No!
We will run! And we will live.
All right. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
What a classic.
It was a movie. You know, John was on, and he mentioned he's from Falkirk. That movie was stylized a little bit. There really was a William Wallace, but...
It was filmed in Ireland as well, actually.
Yeah, and you know, is it any wonder that people like the man that made that movie is now an enemy of Hollywood?
True.
Yeah. Roxanne in Texas. Let's keep moving here. Hello, Roxanne.
Hello, to Mr. McMillan.
Hello, Roxanne.
Or welcome. I look forward to listening to you so we can share the crack.
Share the wait a minute. Hold on here a second. Did I miss something, Roxanne? To share the what?
The crack.
The crack.
That's spelled C R A I C. It's Gaelic for story.
Oh.
Gossip.
Well, so kind of Gaelic for like fun.
I am feeling culturally immature today. Gosh.
Well, the worst job I ever had was when I lived in Saudi. We would go out to the embassy parties, and my British friend, my Irish, and my Scottish friends, they were all drunk, and I had...
This sounds like a joke.
American to try to translate what each other was saying, because I had to listen, and it was so fun, and they didn't know what they were saying to each other, and... Welcome to RBN, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Roxanne. I appreciate it. We've got about a minute left. Let me take Alan in South Carolina. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, I had a joke, but I'll drop it. Suggestion for white privilege. White privilege is when somebody mows your grass, even if it's you yourself.
Okay. I'll take that. Thanks for your call, Alan. Chris Hinckley.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for filling in for me yesterday. I appreciate you joining us today, and I appreciate you bringing out the TED thing that I didn't even know existed.
Can I throw a couple of things at you guys real fast?
Sure.
So, speaking of what David and was it David in Arizona, I think, Vietnam veteran?
Yeah.
I find it interesting that retired Lieutenant General McInerney, he probably heard about it already, was on Fox Business, Varney and Company with Charles Payne yesterday, and Payne ended up apologizing for McInerney's remark that torture worked, defending Gina Haspel. He said torture worked. I mean, look, it worked on John McCain. That's why they call him Songbird John. So that was kind of interesting.
Whoa, he actually made that statement on air?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, wow. And to your point about, you know, people are the same and stuff, I'm reminded of Larry McDonald's remarks back in 1976 that politics don't change, basically. So the basic problems confronting the framers of the Constitution were probably more complex, actually, as our problems today, because, you know, it was different. But from age to age, he said, social organization doesn't change. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Chris Hinckley, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Darren. Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Thanks very much for having me.
All righty.
Look forward to listening.
All right. Darren McNellis, there's not exactly a day we'll hammer that one out, but it will be soon.
Very soon.
Very soon. All right, my friend, thank you. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Appreciate it very much. Back with you Monday with a new edition of the National Intel Report. And until then, folks, support the network. We got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. We'll see you Monday.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.